Welcome back to the Mortgage Update with Dan Frio. And I, of course, am Dan Frio. Got a special guest here with me today, John Maxim from Illinois Housing Development Authority, also known as IDA. Okay, 10 questions. They're the what I would consider the most frequently asked questions in regards to a down payment assistance program. So the next one is, can you have a cumulative amount of collections? Let's say I have a medical bill for $1,000 and two cell phone bills for $300 a piece. So now I have $1,600 in collections. Do those need to be paid prior to me closing? Or can I keep them? Or what do I need to do with my collection accounts?
And that's what's nice about our program. That goes back to what FHA or conventional requires.
Okay.
So there's not, for our program, there's not many overlays at 45 DTI, 640 credit score, but that's about
good.
It.
Got it. And if anybody wants to know about overlays, glad you said that. I have a specific video on YouTube. Just go to YouTube and check out the Mortgage Update with Dan Frio. And there's a YouTube of what are overlays, because overlays can kill a lot of files. Or a lot of people looking to buy a home. So, okay, you answered my question on collections. Same thing with judgments. It depends on the program that you're qualifying for.
Absolutely.
Okay, got it. All right. Can you have what we call a non-occupant co-borrower? So, meaning you're trying to apply to buy a home. You fall short on normally it's income, so because you cannot debt ratio that debt to income we talked about. So you might ask somebody like mom, dad, aunt, uncle, brother, sister, somebody like that to co-sign with you, but they're not going to live in the property. So it's a non-occupant borrower on the mortgage. Will IDA allow that?
That's a great question. And no, you cannot with IDA have a non-occupying co-borrower.
Got it.
Because we both go off household income from all borrowers. So.
Got it. Okay. Got it. All right. So now the next question I have is, there's what we call LTV. It's your loan to value. So make it simple. You have a $100,000 loan. Your house is worth $100,000. You're at 100% loan to value. Make sense? You take the value divided by, or the loan amount divided by the value of the home, that creates what we call loan to value. Because you can do a VA loan, which is 100% financing. So a veteran, God bless them, they bought a $100,000 home. We gave them a $100,000 mortgage. But now they're getting an IDA program. So they're going to get $6,500 through IDA. So basically now the liens on that property total 106.5%, because again, they owe $100,000 plus they're getting $6,500 from IDA. So they owe $106,500 on a home that's valued $100,000. So we're over 100% of the home's value. Is there a cap on how much that can go to?
So conventional financing allows for 105% CLTV, combined loan to value.
Okay.
And then government financing, your VA, USDA, FHA, there's no max. When you run it through the automated system, depending on the credit, they might max it at something depending on credit, but there's no set max with government.
So cool. So you could technically do the 100% financing, get $6,500 through the IDA program through me, and you're at 106.5% combined loan to value, and that'll go awesome.
Yep.
Sweet. All right. Next question is, many times people are short funds to close. So, and I know IDA has a program that you need at least X amount into the deal if and when you close on that home. Can that money be gifted from a family member or relative?
Yes, it can. So you have to follow guidelines from FHA and conventional, but yes, it can be gift funds.
Okay, and what's the skin in the game required by IDA?
We require the max of $1,000 or 1% of the purchase price. So under $100,000 purchase price, they have to have $1,000 into the transaction. Over $100,000 purchase price, 1% of the purchase price.
Okay, so the $1,000, they have to go to closing with $1,000.
No, they do not.
Okay.
Typically, through a real estate transaction, you have something called earnest money. And I'm sure you've talked about that, Dan, before, where you put up a deposit to hold the house with the realtor. Well, that counts towards it. And anything else, I think you used the term skin in the game or borrower investment. You pay for an appraisal, okay? That can count towards it. You prepay your insurance out of pocket.
Oh.
That can count towards it. You pay for an inspection.
Well, there's $1,000 there, easy.
Yes. So it's not It's not like they have to come to closing with that money.
Got it.
They just have to have skin in the game towards our...
Because many times people, they pay for the appraisal, that's $400. They pay for an inspection, that's $300-$400. And then you have to get in your homeowner's insurance, and that's going to be $500-$800. I mean, you should easily hit $1,000. Well, in your example. So I'm thinking they got to pay all that stuff, and then they still have to come to closing with $1,000, and that's not the case.
That's not the case. And earnest money is probably one of the biggest ones.
Got
you're
it.
Putting earnest money. Yeah,
you're going to need $1,000, $1,500, $2,000 in almost every case.
Yes. So that's most of the times you're going to be covered. You know, for that minimum investment.
What property types will Ida lend on?
Single family, condo, townhouse, and up to a 2-unit property.
Okay. And they need to be going to be your primary home. You cannot do a rental property, correct?
Correct. The only time you can have some rental income if you're buying a 2-unit, you can reside in one and rent out the second unit.
Got it. Now, the big question I have, do you have to be a first-time home buyer? So this is going to be your first home ever in your life?
Absolutely not. We have programs. We have four programs. Three of the four programs, you do not have to be a first-time home buyer. Matter of fact, with those programs, if you own a house now and you're upgrading or you're going to buy a new house to live in, you could actually retain your current residence as an investment, a rental property, and use our programs to buy that new primary residence.
Okay. And then the other program you have, I think in one other segment you said, It is a first-time home buyer program, but as long as you have not owned a home in the last 3 years.
That is correct.
3 years, correct? Okay.
Yes.
Got it.
And if you're a veteran, you're exempt from that first-time home buyer requirement.
Sweet.
Yeah, so.
So those are the top 10 frequently asked questions that people have that I get from people looking to buy a home that just don't have the money, and they have questions in regards to what programs are out there that can help me with my down payment program. So, John, I want to thank you so much for coming in today. I mean, you were a huge help, in not only to me, but all the listeners out there. So recap again, who what's your name? Who are you? What do you do? And if they need your services, how do they get a hold of, you know, to get through the IDA programs?
Sure. My name is John Maxim, like you mentioned. I've been with Illinois Housing Development Authority, IDA, for 6 years. Our website is ihdamortgage.org. You can contact us there. Also, our programs, one good question about down payment assistance. How do I get down payment assistance? Nothing is done through us, Dan. They will go to you, the lender. You guys actually front the money, so they don't have to apply through us. You will handle everything start to finish. Your closing time is not held up because you, the lender, are doing everything. So it's a nice, smooth transaction. It's not like you're dealing with a government entity to wait to approve something.
Awesome.
You know, so it's great that you guys handle everything.
Got it. Awesome. And I want to thank John again for coming in today. John is with the Illinois Housing Development Authority. To get all these programs, to get into the IDA and into an IDA program, or to see if you qualify for that program as well as the mortgage credit certificate, give me a call. When you call in, that one thing that I say on my commercials, and people still kind of get dumbfounded when I do answer the phone, is you'll talk with me and deal with me personally 99% of the time. If not, one of my assistants will take the phone call, usually take down some of your information, and I'll get back with you. Let's end today on a credit hack. I've said this one before, but I don't think a lot of people get it. And there's also, I get a lot of contradiction on when I ask people to do this. They're like, well, they're going to pull my credit and I'm going to get a hard hit on my credit. Yes, but let's look at the net benefit that you're going to get out of this. So I just recently closed on a client that was looking to buy, and I worked with them for about 4 or 5 months to get their credit scores up. Here's what happened is I pulled their credit. They've never missed a payment ever, and their credit was like 560. You can't get them qualified for a 560 loan with a 560 credit score. So I'm looking over their credit scores and their credit accounts, and I noticed a pattern. There's a Discover card. There's a MasterCard. There's a Visa. There's a Target. There's a Walmart. They have all these accounts. And they don't owe much on them. Each one had maybe $100-$200 on there. So I'm thinking, what is it? Well, I look over to the high credit limits, and every one was like $100 or $200. So if you have a Walmart account that you owe $100, you're thinking, well, I only owe $100. I'm mostly paid off every month. Well, what's your high credit limit? If it's $100 your showing is maxed out. So it's like having a $10,000 high limit on your account and owing $10,000. And you're thinking, well, that's $10,000. Well, yeah, but it doesn't, the algorithms don't look at it that way. They look at it saying, here's your high credit limit and here's what you currently owe. What percentage of that is it? So you take your what you owe divided by your high credit limit. We want you at 30% or below. So let's take, for example, this person. What I did is I had them call every one of those credit agencies and ask for an increase in their line. They called three of them. Then we stopped there, and here's why. Every one of those agencies or those companies increased the person's credit limits to $2,500. They owe $200. So now they went from maxed out to their, we call their utilization ratio was at 100%. Now their utilization ratio went down below 10%. We got them up to a 640 credit score and they qualified for every program under the sun. So here's the question I always get. Well, Dan, when I do that, it's going to be a hard hit to my credit scores. Absolutely. Yes, it is. But you're getting hit for that credit pool. Let's say it hits you 5 points. But now your utilization rate went from 100% down to 9. You'll probably pick up 50, 60, 70 points. So we picked up, let's say 50. You picked up 50. You lost 5 for the credit pull. You're still net plus 45. Multiply that by 2 or 3 accounts. It might not be in that increments. But let's just say the credit pulls cost you 50, but you picked up 150 by getting that utilization rate down. So you just picked up 100 points in your credit scores. That's my hack of the day. Thanks a lot for tuning in today. We'll be back same time, same place. God bless.